is Rock and Roll Grad School with your hosts, Heidi Hedquist and Luke Poley. Hey, they're halfway there, living on a prayer.
Hello, kitties. We're going to have a good time together. We are bringing Beautiful back. Did Beautiful leave?
No.
I didn't think so.
Never.
But Quinn is bringing Beautiful back, so we're talking to her about that.
That's fair.
Singer-songwriter, now in Nashville. She's big on the TikTok, which is something new we haven't really gotten into.
We're not big on the TikTok.
Okay, I'm speaking for myself. I am not big on
the TikTok. No, I'm not.
Are you on the... Okay.
No.
So something else to... I don't know if you've heard about this because of your...
oh my God, Michigan. We sound like we're 100 years old right now.
Because I call it the TikTok?
Well, no. Well, you went straight from the TikTok to like, well, something else you may not have heard of.
Well, no, I'm not sure because it concerns, I believe, a fellow Michigander.
Oh, okay.
This is why I didn't know if you had already heard of this. As you are aware, this is not a political show.
No.
So did you see this news with Dr. Dre?
No.
Okay, so Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, not a political show.
Correct.
Apparently, she forgot about Dre.
What?
Yes. So she released a video, I think it was Monday or Sunday, over the weekend, using his song, Still Dre. And it was a really terrible video of just her walking through the halls of Congress. And then it ends on kind of a montage of... Apparently, she thinks she had a big role in all of last week's nonsense and getting that solved.
Oh.
And it was all the bed of it was Still Dre, which is interesting because that means she forgot about Dre.
Totally.
And I feel like there are three rules in life.
Don't forget about Dre.
Rule number one, think about Dre. Rule number two, continue to think about Dre. Rule number three, there is no rule number three. Just it's one and two. Do not forget about Dre.
True.
So Dre had his lawyer write a letter to her asking her to stop using his client's music to, quote, promote your divisive and hateful political agenda.
Yes.
Said Mr. Young, parenthetically, Dre, has not and will never grant you permission to broadcast or disseminate any of his music.
Amazing.
Then he said, you would have a passing familiarity with the laws of our country. It's possible, though, that laws governing intellectual property are a little too arcane and insufficiently populist for you to really have spent much time on.
Wow.
And before that, I guess she posted on Twitter and a bunch of people tagged it and reported it for using unlicensed footage and music. Yes. So she's been banned from Twitter.
Nice.
Again.
Again.
And so just a reminder, I think, to ourselves, our listeners too, but mostly to ourselves.
Yes.
Don't forget about Dre.
No, we should not forget about Dre. But
no,
we also need to like caveat that neither of them are from Michigan.
I thought Dr. Dre was.
No.
Oh, wait, no. What am I thinking?
His bestie is. Oh,
my God. You're right. I was like, how? No. NWA. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I would take credit for Dre any minute.
Right.
I love Dre. I don't forget about Dre.
This is important. Yes.
But his...
You're right. I feel like an idiot.
No, you're
now
not
I'm,
an idiot.
No, now I'm going to get a letter from his lawyer.
No, you're not.
Apparently, you've forgotten about Mr. Dre.
No, you haven't.
I'm
you
sorry.
You remembered Marshall, so...
Yes, this is true.
It's cool.
It's
all good.
My brain is fried.
I really wouldn't have called you out on it, except I didn't want anyone to think she was from Michigan.
No, that's a good point. Well, neither of them are from Michigan.
No, neither of them are. But if people know that he's not, they'd assume maybe she was. So I had to clarify.
Fair.
So
fair. Right.
Not a political show, but we don't want to claim her.
MTG, not from Michigan.
No.
And Dr. Dre, not forgotten about.
Exactly.
Okay. That's the takeaway from today.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Feeling a little rejected, looking for some perspective. Tried to play nice, but you fooled me twice, master of deflection. Seeking a little redemption, seeing my true.
Congratulations on the song. Seems like it's going over well with everybody?
Yeah, this one was super special just because, I mean, a good empowering self-love anthem is always something that I feel like the world needs. So
yeah.
It was actually a song that I wrote when I needed it the most. So it's really special.
And so did you sit down with the goal of, I need to write a self-empowerment anthem for myself?
Totally not. So that is totally how it was just a spur of the moment kind of thing. That day that we wrote Beautiful Back, we actually wrote two other songs too. So I work with Matt Wilder as a songwriter, and he's my music producer. And then Brian Mayer as well. He's a super talented songwriter here in Nashville. The three of us have like a really cool, unique, like trio kind of chemistry. And we've been writing songs together for about 2.5 years. So it was just, actually, I think it was the second song that we wrote that day. But I had been going through kind of like a big life change. I'd lived in LA for a few years before moving to Nashville. And when I came to Nashville, I wasn't even planning on living here. I was just going to come for a couple months to work on a record. And just because honestly, like I needed a little bit of a break from LA.
Sure.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just go focus on music for a couple months. And then a couple months turned into me being here for 5 months. And then that point I was like, okay, we've written a bunch of songs. I'm gonna move to Nashville. I'm gonna ship all my stuff, and here I am. And it's been a year and a half, so it's been crazy.
So, how did the three of you find each other?
So, I met Matt back in 2016, actually, at a showcase that I did in Chicago called Launch. And I had been going. The goal was to get signed theatrically for a TV film. And commercially, and just kind of see what other music connections I could make, because I was actively pursuing both a career in TV, film, and music at the same time for a while. And from ages like 15 to 20 was really kind of more primarily TV, film focused for me. Mm-hmm. And then I'd travel back and forth to Nashville a couple times a year just to work on music and write. And after my little like break from LA, I was like, you know what? I just want to go focus on music. And I think that's where my heart is right now. Cause it's never that I felt like I had to choose between one or the mm-hmm. other, but it was kind of always just the TV film acting was kind of the priority for me. And when I came to work on music, I came to town and I got COVID.
Of course. So, like,
agenda back a few weeks. And so once we finally got writing, I was just like, in full creative mode, and was sick of being stuck in little apartments. So I was like, we're gonna write. And that's what we did. And we just had a lot of really incredible momentum going. Matt introduced me to Brian about 2.5 years ago, 2 years ago. And we had tried working with some other writers in town, and there's an incredible amount of talented writers in this town. You can walk every 10 feet and find one, you know? Right. But the chemistry that the three of us had and just the way that the writing kind of clicked was really special. So we kind of just stuck to it, and
well, that's
a bunch of songs. So
that's awesome. I mean, that's the thing. That's why I asked that, because if you think of like Nashville, it is like you said, everyone is so talented. And if it feels like one of the hardest things is finding who are those people that you have the right chemistry with? Because it's not about talent. The talent's oozing out of every pore of that town. But the fact that you found not just one person, but like three of you that work so well together, I feel like that's such a gift.
Yeah, it really is. It's really special. I'm so grateful for those guys. We just get together and stuff comes out, and it's so crazy because I feel like there's nothing I could say to them that would scare them, or I feel like I have to hold back or have a filter.
Have you tried?
Actually, no. Oh. But it was just the things where we got together and it just felt so natural. And we just always kind of end up getting on a roll when we get going. So it's pretty special.
Was it between the first song and the second song, or the second song and the third song on that day where you're like, oh, I think we've got something here?
Well,
or is it one of those like it I mean, it seems like it must have been like a just everything was just rolling. And it's like,
It was kind of that. So the way that Matt and I kind of work is we'll kind of sometimes we'll create a track with a certain feel to it and kind of build a blueprint that way first, and then bring Brian in to help write lyrics and melody. Or sometimes if we're feeling it, we'll pick up guitars and do it that way. But that day we had a couple tracks already going. And in between the single that I released right before Beautiful Back in October, we actually wrote right before we wrote Beautiful Back. So those two songs were written on the same day, which was so crazy. And then we wrote another one, which we actually haven't worked on in a while, but three that day was crazy. So we had the tracks kind of in a position where we could like put down a scratch vocal after we wrote all the lyrics for both of those. And that definitely helps timing wise. But we had written in between, and then just the feel of the track for Beautiful Back just felt like it needed to, it was a big song. It felt like it was going to be a single of mine. And because
it is anthemic. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like it needed to be an anthem. And, to be totally honest with you guys, I was going through a really hard transition time, when I came to Nashville, because my heart was still in LA. I wasn't planning on moving here. I was planning on going back. I'd only put my stuff in storage and was like in the mindset of like, okay, I'm gonna work on music and then I'm gonna go back and keep auditioning and all that stuff. And life just kind of panned out differently. And it was a bittersweet thing when I made the decision that I was gonna move to Nashville. I'm so grateful and happy that I did, because I truly think that it was the best decision for my career. And I love this. I love this town. It's so nice. And people, like, the Southern hospitality is so real. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and it's even so different from like there to here too. And I had been sick after I had COVID. I just was kept on getting sick, and it really took a toll on my physical and my mental health. And I was just not in a good place. And I, that day, like after listening to that track again and being like, you know what, guys, like this feels like it needs to be a self-empowering song. And that's kind of the lyrics that we wrote for it. And like, I think Brian blurted out the phrase like, Quinn, you just need to get your beautiful back. And I was like, Yeah, Brian, you're right. Like that's a unique way of putting it. So we kind of ran with that idea, and Beautiful Back was born.
Is it like, you know, in baseball, when a pitcher has like a shutout or a no hitter going, nobody wants to say no hitter. It's like considered bad luck, and you don't say Macbeth in the theater. Do you have that when you're writing, or you're like, we can't say, is this another song that's sort of just landing here?
You know what?
Just go for it.
Haven't had that issue yet, honestly.
I mean, it's a nice problem to have, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Great problems.
Yeah. It is. And definitely too, when we have a track that we've already built and has a feel, it just makes the songwriting process so much easier and smoother that way. But
after you finish something and the three of you are like, yes, this is awesome, who's the first other person you share it with?
Ooh.
Is there that person, or does it depend?
It kind of depends. Sometimes, like if I'm really feeling something, I'll show my girlfriends, or my parents are super, super supportive and very like, they're my biggest fans. It's so, so sweet. So I'll share it with them sometimes. And we've been documenting a lot of footage from the songwriting process over the past couple of years. So I feel like even as it's happening, I'm kind of have like my influencer hat on, and like I'm sharing. So I'll tease it on social media sometimes if I'm really kind of feeling it. And that in itself has been a whole crazy journey, like with TikTok and navigating that world it's crazy, because now everybody's on there doing it, promoting their stuff, and you have to be on there and to have a presence. And it's so crucial, and getting your music playlisted and building an audience organically, which is so awesome because it's never been more accessible to get your music out to somebody.
Right.
But it's also so competitive, and everybody's doing it now. And, you know, what I've kind of just found is like, as long as you stay authentic and truly just are happy doing what you're doing, people will catch on to that. And I used to take it so seriously, and I'm a perfectionist. So if like the video didn't look perfect, or it wasn't, if I like was goofing off too much, I'd be like, oh, I don't know, like if the world's gonna like that, blah, 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 whatever. But you just gotta roll with it. And sometimes those quirks are the things that make people love you even more. And that's something that I've definitely learned and seen over the past 2 years.
But how do you let go of that? Because you're putting something out there designed for people to look at. And, you know, like you said, these are snippets where you're like, oh, I think this is something. I think we got the song I'm happy with. That's a lot of pressure on that song that you're kind of pushing out into the river, being like, I hope you come back okay. I hope no one hurts you.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, as much as I love sharing the music that we make, it's something that, you know, I wrote it for me, and I made it with my team, and being able to share, you know, a part of your heart to the world, like that's what you're choosing to do by being in this career path, and being vulnerable is such a big part of it. Because if you're not, people are going to see right through it, and they're going to be like, not want to relate to you. So it definitely, just repetition and practice was kind of the key to help break that wall for me. Mm-hmm. And now I just kind of like, you know what, whatever, here you go. Throwing it up there. I don't even like to think twice about it. And it's kind of the same too. Like when I audition, if I send in the self tape for a project, like, it's like, all right, whatever, it's out there. It's out of my control now, moving on.
Yeah.
That takes a lot.
That's a callus. You really got to work up.
Yeah,
it is. It is. But it's definitely worth getting there and just doing it.
Do you approach other things in life that way?
More so in my adult life. Yes. I've always kind of been, the person that's just like, all right, I'm going to do this. This is what I want to do. I'm going to go for it. And, like I moved to LA when I was 18, right after I graduated high school. And I had spent a lot of time going back and forth. Actually, my senior year of high school, I'm 21 now. But I, was spending months at a time in LA. In my second semester of my senior year, I was there, and I basically just came home and graduated, packed my stuff up and moved out to LA. And, you know, just, I'm a person that thrives on like being busy and having things to do. So I was taking a bunch of classes. I was working a lot. I was auditioning. And it definitely gave me a lot of life experience at a young age, doing that. And I don't know. I've always felt like I've been the type of person that just has to get up and do something. And I'm definitely not somebody that follows the typical path of life. I think I gave my dad a heart attack almost when I told him that I wasn't going to go to college, and he came around to it and is so supportive, now. And my parents are my biggest fans, but, I've always kind of felt like I had a lot to prove to, you know, be worthy of their support in that decision. And I don't know, I guess I haven't really just stopped moving and pushing and trying to make things happen ever since. I haven't really kind of stopped to think about that, to be honest with you guys.
Well, don't think about it.
It's just part of the best.
Do not think about it. Pretend we never said it.
No one said think.
Banish the thought.
But I love that show, and you know, it's fun, and I'm grateful that I get to do it, what I love. And having your passion as a career path has its challenges, but also its incredible moments that just make it all worth it. And I'm just trying to let it happen and ride the wave as it goes. So.
And when it seems, but going from industry town to industry town, because both Nashville and LA are very much that, right, you're sort of surrounding yourself with people who have a similar mindset and kind of track to you that, you know, it can flush people out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And so sort of just to ride that wave and to kind of find similar minded folks you can work with, like, that is a huge accomplishment just in and of itself.
Totally. And I think that, you know, just knowing that I wanted to be in the entertainment industry from a young age, like, I was always able to find people and communities, even when I lived in Cleveland, where people were either trying to do the same thing, or there's a really awesome independent film community in Cleveland. And that's kind of how I really kind of built my career from the start when I was 15, 16 years old, and just grew from there. And then from that, I was able to travel a lot to work on films kind of around the Midwest. I worked on something in Texas, and just traveling and being able to be creative in both of those ways too. And then to pop back over to Nashville to work on music was just always like something that I was doing. Cause Cleveland, as great as it was of a place to grow up, it just didn't have what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I always loved LA and I knew that I was going to end up there. And then I loved Nashville too. And it's kind of crazy how it happened that I ended up here, but I'm so grateful. And I've always like found the creative people, I think, is kind of what I'm trying to say. And it was cool when I moved to LA because I got to meet so many incredible actors and musicians and models and just creative people. And everybody's always got something going on, which is a fueling thing for me. Because mm-hmm. like, you know, you feed off each other's energies. And I got to meet so many amazing people there. And I'm actually going back there in a couple of weeks for a few things. So I'm really excited about that. So it'll be good to see everybody. But yeah, and then when I came to Nashville, just like the inspiration for songwriting and all the live music everywhere all the time. Like you can go catch a show whenever and it's going to mm-hmm. be good. And I think that's one of my favorite things about Nashville is that there's always music to go listen to and people to go see, which is really cool.
Now you play guitar, piano, ukulele. Is that right? Am I missing something?
And the ukulele. Yeah.
Not guitar. Guitar.
I love my long nails. So I'm like,
oh, that's yeah.
Give a thumbs up.
Sacrifice.
How do you do ukulele then? Left hand. I'm assuming you're right-handed.
A little, like just a little bit.
Okay.
My nails, they're gonna come down the next time I go get them done. But
I mean, it's good for the right hand. It's perfect for the right hand.
Right. Yeah. It is.
You're halfway there.
Exactly.
So I'm assuming you started on piano.
I did. I actually took lessons from the beginning from my church chorus instructor. Like in fifth and sixth grade. And then I took a break because I didn't like reading sheet music. And then when I started working with a vocal coach, like 13, he taught me how to play chords and different versions of that. And then from there, I was like, whoa, yeah, this is more fun for me to do this. So now I'll read chords and just kind of go off that. So I had basic knowledge of, you know, notes and everything like that. But that's how I play. I play by chords and ear and stuff like that.
It's and then
amazing. Oh. Like you say that like it's like, oh, you know, like everybody else does. Like that's a big deal.
Thank you. It's fun.
And for the lyrics, do you like you said, beautify your I can't say it. Your song. exactly that one. Do you keep a notebook of lyrics? Do you just sort of go in on the day of and see what comes out? How do you normally do that?
So sometimes I'll be sitting at the piano and just get inspired and write something and then bring it to Matt and Brian. Or, you know, it'll just kind of be one of those spur of the moment things where we're listening to the track or I'm feeling something that day where I need to let that out and we'll collaborate and talk about it. And then lyrics will kind of just come out. And the cool thing about working with Brian and Matt is that anything goes and none of us have an ego about anything, which is so important. Like art, it can be creating art and sharing and being vulnerable can be really, really scary. And, you know, I think that if you have an ego, it's just going to, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. Like just let it happen, you know, and see and be open to what's going to come out. Brian is very like stream of conscious. So he'll be saying a bunch of things and then he'll be like, oh, what did I just say? So you always kind of have to be recording him. So you get those golden nuggets. And then Matt will be sitting there kind of more with like a notepad and like be writing down stuff as he's thinking about it. But I'll just be on my phone, like typing, because I do that faster than writing, to be honest. So yeah. So it kind of depends.
So where are you? I don't want to say where you're going from here because it sounds like you haven't accomplished much already this year. But are you looking to make a record?
Yeah.
Or are you looking to just do singles on TikTok and just keep putting them out that way and not really have that construct of I need to have 10 songs that all kind of sound similar, have a vibe to them?
Yeah, so I'm definitely working on a record, and we've written a ton of songs, actually probably 2 records worth of stuff. So the cool thing for me was July 2021 was when I'd come to town, and COVID was still, you know, crazy. And we kind of used that to create like our little COVID bubble of the people that we got to work with. So it was a really cool, just creative time. And we just were really seeing about like 5-10 people just consistently every day. And it was really cool. I was actually living on a cute little farm, like 5 minutes away from Matt's property, because that's where the studio that we work out of is at his house. And then I ended up moving into a little 1-bedroom house next door to his property that he owns, and would drive down my driveway and then drive up his every day. And it was really great. And it was in Franklin. So we were out in the country, and there was like farms and animals and horses and stuff. It was really, really cool, really peaceful. And definitely helps put you in a clear headspace when you're writing. So that was a really special time. And then when I made the decision of like, yes, I'm going to be in Nashville, I was like, I got to live downtown.
Yes. This is fun and all, but
yeah. If I'm actually going to do this, like I'm a city girl, man. Like I got to be in it. I got to be able to have walking distance to a coffee shop from where I live. But that was really cool. And yeah, so we were able to create so much in those few months that we were working, really that 6-month period. And then once we started releasing, and I've played a few shows, it's kind of been more of like the marketing kind of go, go, go mode. But playing around the holidays to have, or like right after the new year, to have another little creative bubble pop where we get to write some more songs and see which ones kind of go with each other. And because this was probably, I mean, this was a year ago that we really had that creative time where we were just writing all the time. And we still have had sessions since then, but we were just writing like I said, we wrote 3 songs in a day, right. And my previous singles. So it's just, it's crazy. And of course life happens. I'm a bartender too. So it's really, really cool for like people watching and getting inspiration that way. Oh my gosh.
And meeting people.
And meeting people. Yes.
And just emotionally, it's like really happy stories and really sad stories. True. All kind of combined right there.
Yes, that's for sure. You never know what you're going to get with people. Yeah.
Beautiful Back by Quinn is available right now wherever you get your music. For more information, you can follow Quinn on both Instagram and TikTok. On both platforms, she is at Quinn Music.
You can check us out on all the various socials. Be sure to visit our website at rockandrollgradschool.com, and don't forget to leave us a review.
Today's show is produced by myself and Heidi Hedquist. Our reluctant producers are John Sauvay and Sandy Stone. Our willing producers are Rachel Allen and Randy Jeanette. Our intern is Zach Jackson. This one's for Philippe. Thank you, good night, and may all your favorite bands stay together.